Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. To you about tonight, what we need more than anything. You know what it is that we need more than anything? The Holy Spirit. He is God, co-eternal, co-equal, co-existent with the Father and the Son. Now, He doesn't get as much press as the other two, but He is a personality. He is the embodiment of God. He is a part of the Godhead. He is the third person of the Trinity. Isn't the Holy Spirit wonderful? Isn't the Holy Spirit wonderful? Let's give Him praise in here, Sunday night crowd. My goodness. Hallelujah. Now, we've been in this study of the Holy Spirit for months now. And I think this is number 19, the 19th message we've preached on the Holy Spirit. And I may have one more. I've been praying about maybe doing a Sunday night study on the tabernacle or possibly the Ten Commandments. And I hadn't got a word from God on either one of those yet, but that's kind of where I'm thinking about going. And as Billy likes to say, anything in the Old Testament is fulfilled in the New Testament. It all points towards Jesus. So either one of those studies would be good. But tonight, I want to talk to you about the Holy Spirit's role. And some of this will be kind of review and some of it will be new. But I pray it will be a blessing for you tonight. I want to talk about the Holy Spirit's role in salvation and sanctification. I don't want to throw a big Bible word at you, but you understand what sanctification is, right? Growing in godliness, that spiritual growth, maturity, that kind of thing. Well, the Holy Spirit's involved from the beginning and all the way to the end, right? All right, if you have your Bibles tonight, I want to read Romans chapter 8 and verses 9 through 17 first, okay? Romans 8, starting at verse 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not His. How plain is that? And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus... Now listen, man, this is powerful. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Man, if you've got the Spirit of God, you've got resurrection power. I think some of y'all need to get raised from the dead right now. Listen, you've got resurrection power if you have the Spirit of God in you. We tend to forget that sometimes, Baptist. All right, now, look at verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. How many of you would say amen to that? Amen. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led, here it is again, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the Spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba! Literally, that means Daddy, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. We have just said a mouthful. And there's no way I can do justice to all of this tonight, but my goodness, how good the Word of God is. Jim, ask God to bless, just bless the Word tonight, would you?
Precious Father, we thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you, Father, for loving us the way that you do. Thank you, Father, for being in this place tonight.
Yes.
Thank you for your Holy Spirit, Father. Father, inhabit this place. Father, inhabit our hearts. Father, send your word to Brother Cal. Father, just touch him and anoint him in a great way, Father. He will present your word the way that you want him to. Father, just bless us, Father, in a great way that we can receive your word. Open our hearts and open our minds, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. The same Holy Spirit that hovered over the waters at creation, the same Holy Spirit that we looked at this morning that created Adam and Eve, the same Holy Spirit that is at work in our world right now, He desires to exercise His power in our lives today. That's what He wants to do. Some of what you hear again tonight is going to be review, and some of it will not be review. It'll be new. But what I really want you to hear tonight is the voice of God. We're going to look at the critical role of the Holy Spirit in this thing that we call in this work of salvation, and the role of the Holy Spirit in sanctification. And I think it'll be a blessing for us tonight. Most of us in here are probably saved. Now, why would you say that, Pastor? Well, y'all, the only two people who know that you're saved is you and him. Now, you know, we're supposed to bear fruit, which gives sign that we're born again and that kind of thing. But the only people who really know for sure is you and him and the Spirit that lives within you. So, some of this may be for those who are not saved tonight, and then some of this will be for all of us who are saved. So it's good stuff tonight, all right? So first of all, let's look at receiving the Holy Spirit. Let's look at the Holy Spirit's role in salvation. Now, if I were to ask you all a question tonight, and I am, what would you say is the distinguishing mark of a Christian? What, more than anything else, is the one mark, the one test beyond all others that shows that a person has been saved? What is that distinguishing mark? You would say, she's born again. Oh yeah, he's got salvation. What is it? Yes. Does he or she have the Holy Spirit? Does the Spirit of God dwell in them? If He does, they're born again. I was talking about this with somebody this morning, and the issue of Mormonism came up, and we both agreed that, you know, it really doesn't matter what label they plastered on you. The key thing is, do you have Jesus or not? And if you've got Jesus, you have His Spirit, okay? And so, look at verse 9 one more time. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Here it is, it's crystal clear. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And look at verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So the number one distinguishing mark of salvation is the fact that that person has the Holy Spirit. That's it. So, now, if you do not have the Spirit of God living in you, then you are not one of His. So that's the key. Do you have the Spirit or not? And if you don't know that tonight, I want you to know it before you leave here this evening. Now, when you receive Jesus, now when does that happen? How do you know that you, well, when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you got the Holy Spirit at that very moment. Now we've talked about that in these messages. Never get the idea that when you become or became a Christian, and you can later receive more of the Holy Spirit. No, when you get saved, you get all of God that you're ever going to get. You get all of the Holy Spirit. You see, the key is, does He have all of you? Well, let me say that one more time. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes in to take up residence in your life. The third person of the Trinity. That resurrect, He comes in. And you've got all of Him you're ever going to get. But you see, what happens in the life of a believer is we don't allow Him to have every area in our life. And immediately when that happens, there's problems. How many of you know there's problems when you don't surrender to the Spirit of the Lord God? And so that's what happens sometimes. But when you get saved, you get all of the Spirit of God that you're going to get. Now, it was the work of the Spirit when you first got saved. How many times have you been talking to somebody about their salvation and immediately, but after about 5 minutes, you realize that the Spirit of God was not involved in this conversation. I find that to be true. If you witness on a regular basis, you pretty well get used to, you know what, the Spirit of the Lord's not dealing with this person yet. And so you're just throwing your pearls before swine when that's happening. So, but now every now and then when you're talking to somebody, you can tell the Spirit of God has already been working on them. And you can get to first base with them. You understand what I'm saying? And so the Spirit of God is intimately involved in this thing we call salvation. Now, the Holy Spirit, I'll tell you what, I think we need to go to John's Gospel. Look at John 14 real quick. John 14. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. Look at John 14. Verse 17. Well, you know what? Verse 16 is so good I can't leave it off. John 14, verse 16. And I will pray the Father. This is Jesus talking here. He says, I will pray the Father. He will give you another helper that He may abide with you till the next time you sin. How long? Somebody give God an amen. Amen. The Spirit of truth, verse 17, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans, and I will come to you. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus that takes up residence in our life. Have y'all got that with me now? So, He is Christ in you, the hope of glory, the Scripture says. Now, the next question that comes to my mind is, how do you know that you've been saved? I mean, how do you receive salvation? I'm glad you asked. Look at Acts chapter 20 and verse 21. We make something complicated out of salvation. But it's really not that complicated. The Spirit of God's working, the Spirit of God's moving, the Spirit of God's convicting. And here's how you receive Christ. Acts 20, verse 21. Got to read verse 20. Paul says, how I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house. What was it that he was teaching? Testifying to Jews and also to Greeks. Here it is. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. There it is, the two-sided coin of salvation. Repentance and faith. You cannot be saved unless you're willing to repent. And who is it that places you under conviction, that causes you to repent? The Holy Spirit. And who is it that gives you the faith to turn to Christ from your sin and turn to Christ and trust Him? The Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit's totally and intimately involved in this salvation experience. And so it is the Spirit's job to place people under conviction. And John 16 and verse 8 tells us that. John 16, 8 says, "And when He has come," who's He talking about? "When He has come," when the Holy Spirit has come, "He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." So in this salvation process, the Spirit of Almighty God is at work, and He places people under conviction. Under conviction about who their wife is? No. Under conviction about what kind of job they have? Not necessarily. He places them under conviction about their sin. Because you see, Jesus said, "Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." And so part of the Spirit's job and responsibility in this thing we call salvation is to place people under conviction of their sin. And so when the sinner realizes that his sins need to be forgiven and that they have separated him from God, he realizes that Christ is the only way out. You know, this easy believism that we teach and preach is not biblical. Unless the Spirit of God places somebody under conviction, they don't understand. I think I've told you about my little niece, right? I mean, my granddaughter, Avery. Didn't I tell you all about her? Tell us again. All right, that's a sign of my getting older. I tell the same things to the same people over and over again. But the sign that you're getting older is you forgot. So, but I was talking to Avery one day about this salvation stuff. And I think she was about 4 years old, maybe five. And she was talking about, oh, Jesus, you know. She had all the right answers about Jesus, okay? I mean, she's been raised in church. Her parents, you know, teach and they love the Word. And so she's been brought up right to hear about things. And it's almost the natural thing to do for a kid who grows up in a Christian home to come to faith in Christ. And I said, well, you know, Avery, why is it that we need to be saved? I said, you know, we need to be saved because of something. We need to be saved from something. And I said, do you know what that is? And she said, yeah, Granddaddy. And I said, what is it? She said, sin. And she's from Wayne County, and sin is like three syllables. Sin. And I said, do you know what sin is? And she said, yes, that's when you do something wrong. And I said, you mean people do things that are wrong? And she said, oh, yes. And I said, tell me some things that we do that we know we're not supposed to do, and we do them anyway. And she started naming off all these sins. And I said, man, this girl understands what sin is. Because you see, if you don't understand what sin is, you don't understand your need for Jesus. Got me? And so then, man, I really started to pin her ears to the wall. And I said, okay, Avery, are you a sinner? And she said, oh, no, Granddaddy, I'm not a sinner. And so I realized right then, the Spirit of God was not moving just yet. But now she understands what sin is. And listen, children have all kinds of faith. I mean, they can trust Christ, they can trust the Easter Bunny, they can trust Santa Claus, they can trust the Tooth Fairy. You know what I'm saying? They've got great faith. But they need to understand what sin's all about. And that's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it's really hard to figure out, you know, where children are spiritually. And that's a tough one. But Avery was talking to me. I don't know if you remember that or not, Diana. That's been 2 years ago, maybe. But I believe that little girl's going to come to Christ because she's got folks praying for her. And so when we realize that we need Christ and Him alone to save us from our sin, we're getting real close to biblical salvation. And the Greek word for faith, and I don't want to throw a big thing on you here, but it's important. The Greek verb for faith is pistuo. And that word literally means to place one's trust in another. And it literally means to place your entire weight in or on something. Mary Margaret, you sat down in that chair tonight because you just figured and had faith that it was going to hold. Would you have sat down in that chair if it wasn't going to hold you up? No. So she placed her faith and trust in that chair. And in some way, a small way, that's what you do when you place your entire weight, your faith, your trust in and on the Lord Jesus Christ. Y'all heard me say it like this before. You place everything that you are into everything that He is. And if you do that, hallelujah. Then you can come and follow Him. Isn't that fantastic? And so the Holy Spirit's at work in this salvation thing. And so when that happens, when we repent of our sin and when we trust Christ and Christ alone, immediately right then the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in the life of that believer. And you get all of the Holy Spirit then you're going to get. Not going to get any more of the Holy Spirit at any other time. And so the work of salvation is the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, I need to read one more verse of John in John's Gospel to you before we move to this other deal that I want to get to. Look at John 16 and verse 14. John 16 and verse 14. Are you there? He, the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, will glorify me. He will glorify me. The number one priority of the Holy Spirit is to glorify the Lord Jesus, the second person of the Trinity. That's what He's all about. He says, for He will take of what is mine and declare it to you. Ooh-wee. The Spirit of God takes up residence in. You see, that's why the greatest miracle that ever takes place is the miracle of salvation. God gets more glory from that miracle than any other thing that ever happens. And so the Holy Spirit is all about this business of glorifying the Trinity. And let me ask you this, of glorifying the Lord Jesus. And what did Jesus say time and time again? I'm here to glorify whom? The Father. Do you see how all of that just flows together? Okay, I just want to be sure we're communicating. So, That's the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit in salvation. And so let me ask you a question. Does the Spirit of God live in you? Does He live in you? That's the key. That's the distinguishing mark of a Christian, that you have the Holy Spirit. Now, let's look at this big thing called sanctification, responding to the Holy Spirit. Y'all tell me, what does the word sanctification mean? Sanctified. Set apart. Anything else? What are we set apart to? To praise Him? We are set apart to Him and for Him. In other words, here's a Baptist word we don't like to talk about anymore, but you remember the old-fashioned word separation? We have been set apart. We're separated from the world to Christ. Okay? And so once this, and at the very moment of salvation, this sanctification process begins to take place. Okay? I mean, getting saved is just the very beginning. You get a brand new life. And then this work of the Holy Spirit begins right then. You know, why in the world would we take a baby home from the hospital and leave them alone? Back in the crib, in their own room. You wouldn't do that. But that's what we do a lot of times with baby Christians. Sanctification process. Let's look at this. Romans 6. Go to Romans 6. Aren't we having a good time tonight? Romans 6, and I want to read the first 11 verses. Yeah, we got time. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. I think I told y'all about, you know, making a visit with this Baptist boy who'd been on our roll for 35 years. And he had been in church since he was, you know, 16. And I walked in and sat down on his couch there and we got to talking. And I said, tell me about your salvation. He said, "Oh, Brother Cal, I believe in once saved, always saved." And I said, "You do?" Well, I said, "I don't believe that." He said, "You're a Baptist preacher." I said, "I believe if saved, always saved." Because if you're saved, and then I really pinned him back in the corner. I said, "If you're saved, here's what it looks like." And I said, "Now." Anyways, I won't tell you how the rest of the conversation went, but it went downhill. So Romans 6 verse 2 says, "Certainly not. How shall we die? How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death?" He's talking now there about that salvation experience, the baptism of, you know, if you want to talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, this is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When you're saved, the Holy Spirit baptizes you into the body, that mystical, marvelous body of Christ. And we were baptized into His death. Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. I just knew there'd be a Baptist hallelujah there. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over Him. For the death that He died to sin once for all. But the life that He lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon, I told y'all Paul was Southern, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now I ask you all, what is the number one distinguishing mark of a person who's been saved? And the answer was, you have the Holy Spirit. What is the distinguishing mark of a Spirit-filled Christian? What is the one thing, the one characteristic that reveals that you are being filled by the Spirit of God on a regular basis? Well, some folks would say, if you speak in tongues, you've got the filling of the Holy Spirit. Some folks would say, somebody who's filled by the Holy Spirit is always talking about the Holy Spirit. Some would say, well, they have the gift of healing. Well, I've got the answer for you. We've already read it in some scripture. The number one sign, the characteristic that most reveals those folks who are being filled, who are filled by the Spirit of Almighty God, continually being filled by the Spirit of God, I should say, is that they remind you of Jesus. What is the Holy Spirit's role? John, remember we just read it, John 16:14, to do what? To glorify whom? To glorify Jesus. Somebody who is filled by the Spirit of Almighty God is doing the same thing that the Spirit of God does. He reminds people. He glorifies the Lord Jesus. Somebody asked me a long time ago, before I'd really had, you know, a whole lot of, really before I'd spent a whole lot of time in the Word. And they asked me this question, what does it mean to be filled by the Spirit of God? And I guess I was about, somebody asked me this in high school. And I said, well, it's somebody who is under the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, that didn't satisfy them. And he asked me again, he said, tell me somebody that you know is filled by the Spirit of God. And so I got to thinking, and finally I just blurted out, well, it's somebody that's got Jesus all over them. I didn't know what I was saying, but that's a great response. Because the Spirit of Almighty God, if it is His role to glorify the second person of the Trinity, the Lord Jesus, then if the Holy Spirit's taking up residence and in me, then my job is to do the same thing. And so everywhere I go, that guy's got Jesus all over him. Ooh, that lady, she reminds me of Jesus. Sounds like the Lord Jesus. And so that is the, I mean, you know the fruits of the Spirit? Let me go to Galatians. Galatians real quickly. Galatians 5. And just do these remind you of Jesus? But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Does that characteristic remind you of Jesus? Joy. Peace. He's in the boat in the middle of the storm asleep. Peace. Long suffering. Don't you know he got sick and tired of dealing with those disciples? I mean, he had patience. He was long suffering. Kindness. Jesus was kind to his enemies. Goodness. Faithfulness. Gentleness. Self-control. All of those fruits of the Spirit are the fruits of the Lord Jesus. They remind us of people. So I guess the next question is, how do I get that, Brother Cal? How do I remind people of Jesus? Well, John 3:30 says what? He must increase, and I've got to decrease. You've got to dethrone yourself and enthrone Him. That's how you get what we're talking about. And he wants to reign and rule over our lives each and every day. We've got to yield to the Holy Spirit, not just on Sunday, but 24/7, every day. How do I do that? Well, first of all, by realizing that you're dead. I said by realizing that you're dead. Let's go back to Romans 6. I know this is some deep stuff here. But look at verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him. Now, when a crucifixion takes place, what happens? You die. That the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Look at verse 11. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The word reckon is a bookkeeping term. It's an accounting term. It's a banking word. It applies to something that you can bank on, that you can count on. It means that you can recognize that something is true and then calculate on the basis of what you know. Does that make sense? I mean, when Jesus died for you, you died with Him. Now that sounds crazy, doesn't it? But it is fixed and true. Therefore, let me put it like this. Jesus wasn't the only one that died on that cross that day. Spiritually speaking, there were thousands of people that died that day. Millions of folks died that day. I'll go a step further and tell you that some of you died with Him that day. I died with Him that day. 2,000 years ago. Am I making sense? And so you know what some of us in here need to do tonight? You need to do what I did yesterday. There needs to be a funeral take place. We need to recognize, we need to count on and bank on that we have died. Brother Baptist, you may need to have a funeral tonight. Sister Baptist, you may need to have a funeral service tonight. You're dead. And by the way, since you are dead, since you've been crucified with Christ, it is no longer you who live, but it is Christ who lives in you. And the life you now live in the flesh, you live by faith in the Son of God who loved you and gave Himself for me. And God doesn't leave us on our own to live the Christian life. He supplies us with that Holy Spirit resurrection power. Woo! How can folks not come on Sunday night and hear something like that? Mercy me! That is great, great news. And so here's the good part. Because Christ died for you, because He died for us, we also not only died with Him, we rose with Him. And He now lives in us. And therefore, the devil can't make any demands on you. And if he does make some demands on you, he's making demands upon Jesus because you have His Spirit. You're dead to sin. And you have the power to overcome sin. I said, you have the power to overcome sin tonight. Man, let's go back to this banking term. You've got the keys to the bank vault. Did you hear what I just said? You've got the keys to the bank vault. I mean, you can write checks all day long because Jesus... Are y'all still writing checks? This younger crowd doesn't even know what a check looks like. But you can write checks because Jesus has provided the funds for all the checks. Bank on it. You're dead to sin. And you're alive in Christ. And you can live above sin. Whoo, glory. Now, there's some real practical advice, and let me hit these real quick in Romans 6. Look at verse 12. Billy, Romans is just unbelievable. He did a great job teaching Sunday school. Taught through the whole book of Romans. Therefore, do not let sin reign, R-E-I-G-N, in your mortal body. Why is that an inconsistent? I mean, how can sin not reign in your mortal body? That's right. The Holy Spirit has taken up reign in your life. He's got the reins. You understand what I'm saying? So you can't have two kings. Can't serve. That's right. Is all this fitting together for you now? Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead. What do dead folks need? Life. And your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For you are not under law, but under grace. Have mercy. The key to being filled by the Spirit of God is yielding to His authority. So, Brother Cal, how do I yield to His authority? The same way you submitted to Him at salvation. Exactly the same. How did you get saved? Well, you agreed with God about your sin. You submitted to Him at your salvation by repentance and then faith. And so we agree with God. We submit to Him. We confess any known sin and repent of any known sin and trust God to do what He just told us He'll do in Romans 6. You can count on Him to do what He said. And so the same process that happened in sanctification, repentance and faith, should happen every day in order to be filled by the Spirit. Am I communicating? Y'all, am I getting through to you? Every day this all needs to happen. You can't be filled by the Spirit of God if you've got unconfessed, unrepented sin in your life. But if you've confessed your sins and you've submitted to the Lord's leadership and you have by faith trusted Him, oh God, Your Word tells me, commands me, I've got to be filled by Your Spirit. Lord Jesus, if there's any sin in my life that You're not having, please tell me what it is right now. I want to confess it and forsake it and turn from it. Make sure it's under the blood. And I want to have Your power in my. I'm surrendered to You. That's similar to the prayer you prayed at salvation, is it not? And that kind of prayer, fill me with Your Spirit. That's how it needs to take place. Let me give you 7 quick steps that I take on a regular basis. Sometimes I do a really good job with this. Sometimes I fail. I know that shocks you. Step number 1 in being filled by the Spirit of God is confession. We just talked about that. Lord, I know that You will convict me of any sin today. And when You do, I'm going to respond in obedience. That's step number 1. Step number 2 is surrender. I know, Lord, that You want to draw me to You. And I surrender right now to Your drawing. Step number 3. I know You want to teach me today. Make me teachable. You know, one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit is to teach us. But you know what He can't do? He can't teach folks who are unteachable. Hello? Yes. Step number 4 is listening. Father, I know that You indwell me, You live in me, and I am listening for Your voice today. My son and I talked about that Friday on the way to school. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. When You speak to me, help me to recognize Your voice. And step number 5 is guidance. God, I know You've got a plan for me today. Help me to follow Your plan. Step number 6 is power. Father, I know I have that resurrection power that we read today, tonight. I know that I have Your power. Make me a bold witness. That's a prayer right there. Every one of us need to pray every single day before we ever leave the house. Make me a bold witness. Gratitude. I know You have sealed me. Thank You for saving me. I am eternally safe and secure. Now, these are not one-time steps. These are steps that I try to take daily in my walk with Christ so that I can be filled by His Spirit. And Diana's here, and she knows me pretty well. And if you were to ask her, is Cal a better man tonight than he was last week? She'd probably say, he sure isn't. As a matter of fact, he's worse, I think, tonight than he was last week. But if you were to ask her, well, what about this time last year? Is he a better man than he was this time last year? Well, she'd start thinking about that. But if you ask her tonight, is he a better man than he was when y'all first got married? I think she'd tell you, oh yeah. Well, that's not because I'm a good person. It's because I've been walking with Jesus for 52 years now. And He's the only one that can do anything with me. My spouse can't do anything with me. My church can't do anything with me, but Jesus can. And He is changing my life day after day after day after day after day by the filling of the Holy Spirit. Dwight's right. You don't hear much teaching on the Holy Spirit anymore, but I want to tell you, anything that God's doing right now in this dispensation is being done by the Holy Spirit. Where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? He's at the right hand of God. Where's the Father? On the throne of the universe. His Son's right beside Him. But guess where the Spirit is? Yeah. Isn't that great? As we surrender to His leadership, confession, surrender, teachable, listening, guidance, power, and gratitude. I take those 7 steps just about every day and pray those things all day long. Lord, is that You? Is that Your voice speaking to me? Or is that just Cal Hampton? God, I'm so grateful. I'm so thankful for the prayer You just answered today. God, I need power. I'm going down the street. Make me bold. Make me loving. But make me a bold witness as I go to speak to this fellow. And God, you've got a better plan for my life today than I do. And I want to follow your plan today. Give me divine appointments. Do what only you can do in my life today. And Lord, I confess, I'm a sinner saved by your grace. And if there's anything in my life you're not pleased with and that I haven't turned from, please right now tell me what it is before I even walk out the door this morning. Help me, Jesus. The Spirit-filled life, there's nothing quite like it. Father, thank you for this evening with these brothers and these sisters. And Lord, if there is someone in here and the Spirit of God has not done the work of salvation, and I pray right now that He would have His way. If you're under conviction tonight about some sin or about sin as a whole, my advice to you is just say, Lord, you're right. I'm wrong. And by faith, just say, Lord, I believe. Thank you for the cross. I receive your forgiveness. Wash me. Make me whole. And I would conclude that prayer one of two ways. Thank you for saving me. Or thank you for sanctifying me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you prayed a salvation prayer tonight, I want to hear about it. Just grab me after the service and I'll get you some stuff to help get you started right in your new life with Christ. And if you prayed a sanctifying prayer, I'm ready to charge hell with a water pistol with you. Because you've been filled by the Spirit of Almighty God. And that's who I like to run with, is Spirit-filled believers. Don't give me some backslidden, half-in, half-out, watered-down mess. I want to run with Spirit-filled believers. Don't you? Yep. Hallelujah. All right. Anything else? Oh, on your way out, grab one of those Awaken packets. Fabulous stuff. Tells you about a period of fasting and praying for revival and spiritual awakening here in our city. And here in our state, and this is even going on out all over the nation right now. So it's a fabulous thing that the Spirit of God put together with Dwight Dixon in his Monday night prayer meetings when Barbie and Terry Franklin started coming to our prayer meeting out at Hilldale. And they're the leaders of the awakened fasting and prayer movement that's going on right now. You can't beat the Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's go remind people of Jesus. Amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.